On the call today, we have Mike O'Connor, Olivier Crepin-Leblanc, Jörg Schweiger, Mark Kosters, and for Mike and staff, we have Bart Boswinkel, Julie Hedlund, Christina Nordstrom, and Patrick Jones.
Okay, and just to make sure, Chris sends his apologies. It's a bit late for him.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting Chris, actually.
No, but because he's on the...
David also sent his apologies for this call. David Oliver. Okay.
All right. Let's jump in. Jörg, if you could get into the Adobe room, that would be good, because then we could do the hand-raising routine. Is that possible for you?
I don't know. I've never been there. How would I do that? Probably might not be a good idea to try to work that out right now.
It's pretty easy, and it makes managing the call a lot easier. So if you could, give it a try. It's really not too bad at all. You just click on the link and register as a guest, and you'll be put in the room. And
I received the mail from you with that link, right?
No, the one from Christina. She replied right after that with our very own real live Adobe room. So that's don't use the one in my mail. Okay, so I think rather than stepping us through the whole work plan page by page, which might take us a really long time, I'd be interested in hearing changes to the work plan that people have in mind. And if none show up, then I'll drag us through it page by page and see if that triggers any conversation. But for now, is there anything on people's minds that they'd like to change in the work plan? I could circulate it again. I think I only sent it to...
Actually, I would have some points I would like to discuss or even raise, although I think I indicated them before, but at least one hasn't been adopted in a second work plan, so let me just try to state it once again. And that was, in the very first place, there are others, by the way, that I'm not too happy with your problem statement, and I wonder whether the others are all happy with the problem statement.
One other thought is people should probably say their names when they start talking, so I'll get us in the habit. This is Mikey. That problem statement's right out of the charter. I just copy and pasted it in there. I didn't get it all creative until a page or two in. The first page, the problem statement, is just the one that was in the charter itself. And, you know, the refinement that we talked a little bit about refining that, and I wouldn't think that it's outside our brief to go ahead and clarify it a bit. But I just wanted to clarify the ownership. Why don't you go ahead, Jörg, and describe what you were thinking.
I'll give it a try. What my point in that is, first of all, we mentioned security and stability, and I'm not even sure that each of us understands the same thing, reading security and stability. So if we want to reach an understanding about security and stability, first of all, we should definitely make clear what stability and security really means for us. And I haven't seen anything that clarifies on that one, and I think it's got to be a first definition to make sure what we would understand referring to the term security and stability. That was
this is Mikey again. I agree, but I also think that that's actually going to be one of the early tasks of the working group itself. You know, the thought that I had was that...
Okay, find explanation with me as long as we do not... or if we do have that in mind, and this might even change our problem statement. So if this is going to be an iterative kind of thing where things evolve, that's okay with me.
Yeah, well, that's certainly my thought. Olivier, go ahead.
Thank you, Mike. Olivier here for the record. I was just going to suggest that we check the SSR, who might have already defined what stability and security is, security and stability is, since they've already worked on something similar than that. Thank you.
Oh, that's a great idea. Let's start a list of action items. Let's see if with my godlike powers, oh, I can. Okay, so I'm going to...
So this is York again. Once you're taking down notes, Mikey, the second point I'd like to make concerning the problem statement is that I would rather than understand security and stability, determine the health level and criteria for its determination instead of just the term understanding security and stability.
I'm going to jump to Patrick. I think Patrick might have had something on the last one. Let me just catch that, and then we'll come back to yours, Rolf. Go ahead, Patrick.
Thanks. So following on Olivia's suggestion, in the FY12 SSR plan that we posted last week, we had some, and these are very basic definitions for security, stability, and resiliency, and I'm not saying these are the ones that you should use, but they're general enough that the group might be comfortable with them. So I can cut and paste them into the in the chat. Everyone can see them there, or I can just refer you to the early on in the FY12 SSR slides. They're in Part A, and it just there it says security, stability, and resiliency. So I don't have to read them here, but we did try to put some general context into what, from a staff perspective, we were thinking of when we posted the plan.
Cool. I saw Olivier say, yeah, go ahead and post those into the chat. That's probably a good idea. I think what we'll do is grab the chat transcript at the end of the call and post that to the list as well so that we've kind of got a self-documenting thing going there. So, Patrick, if it's easy for you to just cut and paste them into the chat, that would be great. Otherwise, maybe just send us a link on the list. Okay, Jorg, you were on to another point, and I was multitasking, so I can't restate it. Could you do that again?
Yeah, for sure. I'm asking myself whether the overall rational, and I see that represented in the problem statement, is really what we are after. So the problem statement says we are out to understand security and stability. And I think from my perspective, I would be reaching out for a goal that is going a little bit more further than that, and that would be that we could determine the health level and that we would have criteria to do so. So it's not just understanding an obscure kind of thing like security and stability in which way ever we define it, but to be able to really determine the health level given some criteria we have to come up with as well. And that's what...
Jorg, I went ahead and flipped around to the goals and objectives page. Does this get close to what you're after, or are you looking for something in addition to these? Because, you know, my thought in breaking them apart was just that the more sort of granular stuff could go into goals and objectives. But again, I'm pretty flexible about this. And I'm candidly also expecting that the working group is going to refine this a bit too.
Does anybody else see the point I'm trying to make, or are the others comfortable with the problem statement? I just do not want to insist on something I feel, and that probably is a little bit more refined in the slides we're going to see going through all of them. And I just want to make a point that, to my point of view, the problem statement does not reflect everything I would like to reflect it, being such a prominent part of our work. I see it as one sentence, what we are up to, and this one sentence is just too small for my perspective, and I would be very interested to see if everybody else is happy with that statement. Then I would back down for sure.
This is Bart. May I interject something?
Sure, go ahead, Bart.
I've just checked with the charter. If you look at the charter, it is expressed as a need to understand. So by using a term like problem statement, that is, I think from that perspective, I do understand, Jürgs. Say, you turn something, you change a bit of the nature of say, when it got started. So I think the need to better understand is something else than turn it into a problem statement.
Ah, good point. So what if we took that sentence, the better understand, which it's true, the problem statement is my words.
Yeah. What is included and that's in the background section, is an acknowledgement for the need for a better understanding of the security and stability of the global domain name system. And I think that's something completely different, or at least in my say, when I use English, than using the term problem statement.
Yeah, I see that. Okay, so what if we took that sentence, the better understand sentence, from the, and you know, I may have shortened it from the charter. I have run out of desk real estate, so I can't.
Yeah.
I can't get the charter open. But, you know, what if I went back to the charter and actually lifted the exact sentence out of the charter?
Yes.
And instead of calling it problem statement, call it background.
Yeah.
And that perhaps blunts the issue that I now understand is maybe the problem. Does that help your... concern, Jörg, if we did that?
Okay, it's Jörg speaking. I saw it more or less than as a mission statement of the group. So I transferred problem statement into mission statement.
Ah.
And for a mission statement, it seems to be for me, not adequate. So probably I was just looking out for a mission statement in a very short and brief way. What is the group up to? What is our target?
Yeah.
And this sentence would not completely reflect what I would expect a group like this to have as an overall rationale. So I was looking for a mission statement, more or less.
Yeah, and problem statement and mission statement in this context, for me, are synonymous. So I would be happy to change the word to mission statement and expand the sentence to be right out of the charter instead of my shortened version.
Yeah.
And then I think that what we need to do, given the press of time, is push hard to get either some additional language into that mission statement, And, Jorg, I'd suggest typing it into the chat if you can. Just a few phrases that we could start a conversation on the list to sort of hammer our way to a final version. To get the things that you're hunting for in there. What I did is I took some of those and I stuck them into these goals and objectives. Because in the goals and objectives, I was trying to put the more discrete, granular stuff. But this format is entirely mine, and I have absolutely no editorial pride at all. So we could completely rework this if it's not working for people. But I think we need to get this right, because if we describe our destination wrong, then we will not get to the right place at the end. Olivier's got some language in there. To coordinate investigation of the security and stability of the global domain name system. How does that work for people? That could get stuck in up here and say something like, go ahead, Bart.
May I suggest that we capture what Olivier has done? We note there are some issues here, but not try to resolve it during the call itself.
Yeah, I think that's right.
We've run out of time.
Yeah, I think you're right. Are other folks comfortable with this as to where we're headed, and maybe take this to the list to finish off? Give you all practice in raising your little agree buttons. Do you all know how to do that? Up on the top of your screen, there's a little raise your hand button, but beside it is an arrow that drops down that lets you do agreement. Olivier did it. And so if you go way up on the top of the screen, there's a button that looks like, yeah, there we go. It looks like a symbol like that. It's a raise hand button.
I clicked it already.
Yeah, and the one, if you click the little drop down right next to it, you get an agree button instead.
Okay.
So
yeah.
That's the Adobe tip of the day. Okay, so it sounds like that's what we'll do. I think that's the kind of thing that we really want to talk about on this call. Big, important, sweeping stuff. So are there other big, important, sweeping things that people would like to see changed about the work plan? So a lot of it is fairly mundane, but I'm going to take you to a page that I invented. And my goal on this page is that, we talked a little bit about it on the list, is to get sort of the notion of sifting going on, so that things that fall through the sifter, where people are in agreement, can move on to the next stage, whereas things under discussion and continue to be discussed until they're either accepted or without subsequent progress. And I'm suggesting that I've run into...
Mikey, for interrupting you, am I the only one who can hardly hear you? Because I can hear you that good.
Hey, Mike,
anybody else experiencing that?
Yeah, Mikey, it sounds like you're on a cell phone.
Oh, that's too bad. Is that better?
Yeah, that's better.
Yeah.
I'll just shout. But go ahead and interrupt me that way again if if we run it. We are having an intense thunderstorm here, so maybe that's what's going on. Anyway, I just want to get sort of a sense of the group as to whether this approach of moving on to subsequent stages when we aren't completely done with prior conversations is all right with people. And my interest here is to make sure that we don't get stuck, hung up on one thing, but at the same time we will have to be careful not to run ahead of the sense of the group if we do this, because we could leave things under discussion which are in fact crucial. So I just want to touch on this one, and if everybody's all right with it, I'll leave it alone. But give people a chance to speak now. Okay, it sounds like that one's all right. I'm back to, are there other things in the whole work plan that people want to revise, or are we close enough, with the exception of the conversation we just had, to go out to the group with this? And if we are, fully for us. Okay.
This is Jörg once again. Sorry for interrupting.
Go ahead. No worries.
The slide identify threats. I haven't seen anything that looks like that we are about to prioritize which threats are the most important ones to go on working with the most important ones first and so forth. So if that reflected somewhere, or might it be a good idea to note down a specific point where we would agree on which are the most severe threats to work on those prior to all the others?
That's a good idea. I'm starting to get power glitches. I may disappear from this call unexpectedly. If we do, Bart, maybe you can take over for me so that we don't lose the thread of the conversation, and I'll just listen to the MP3.
Somebody else from the co-chairs.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll probably just disappear and let you guys sort it out. But carrying on with Jörg's point, are other people in agreement with that? If so, I'll just add it to the work plan. Sort of, it seems to me that goes right at the end. And what it does is, this is the end of the sifter, and then the next page is the analysis cycle. And it does make sense to me to go ahead and prioritize the threats prior to going into analysis. And so with agreement of the group, I'll go ahead and do that. Olivier, go ahead.
Thank you, Mike. Olivier, for the record. I was just going to ask, I seem to understand that a lot of the work is going to be dependent on the expert input and advice that we receive. What happens if we receive conflicting advice from experts? Is there a procedure or a way for us to be able to reach consensus even with mixed expert input?
I think that's one of the reasons that I have that under discussion column on this page, is that we may indeed run into that problem. And I think what we do is we keep it under discussion until we've either arrived at consensus either for or against the idea, or can't arrive at consensus, at which point we describe that as part of our working product at any stage. No consensus in my mind is an outcome for this, but I'd be interested in the thoughts of others on that.
And, Olivier, again here, are you suggesting, might we just reach no consensus, or might we get a broad consensus or have a vote for some of the issues? Or
In the GNSO world, which is where I'm most comfortable in terms of the process, we have a sort of four-layer assessment of the degree of consensus, and that assessment is ultimately the responsibility of the co-chairs. At some point or another in the process, the co-chairs, having done whatever they want to do, can describe consensus as full consensus, partial consensus, split opinion, or not consensus. And the goal is consensus, but it doesn't always work out.
Go ahead. Sorry, it's Olivier again. Sorry for cutting you, but will that be dependent on the decisions from the co-chairs, or will that be dependent on the positions by each one of the members of the working group?
Again, I just have to run with my GNSO experience, but what we generally did is we would poll the group to find out what the level of consensus was, and the role of the co-chairs was really to describe it rather than to force it.
Okay.
And if we found consensus, great. And if we found that we didn't have consensus, we would try to arrive at consensus. But sometimes we couldn't. And in those situations, we would simply describe the situation as it stood at that time.
Mike, this is Bart again. If you look at the chart, there is a whole, and this is derived from the experience from the GNSO, there is a whole mechanism described in here about reaching consensus and the role of the co-chairs. It's section 3.6, 361, standard methodology for making decisions.
Yeah, and I think that's what I was sort of ham-handedly trying to describe. I didn't realize that it was in the charter.
Yeah.
I should reread the charter before I start these conversations.
Why? That's why you have us.
Cool. So, Olivier, does that work okay for you?
Yeah, thank you very much, Mike. And I should also read the charter for these calls. Thanks.
Yeah, dog ate the homework. Oh, well. But a good point and very important, just like yours, I think. Other thoughts from people about the work plan? We're sort of getting to the end of the first half hour. And if we're comfortable with the, except for the point that Jorgen and Mark and the rest of us are working on about the mission statement, can we push on to the rest of the work, to the rest of the agenda at this point? I'm not hearing any cries of pain,
yep.
So let's go ahead and do that. And then if something comes up, we can always return.
Hey, Mikey, this is Mark. I do have a question a little bit on the work plan, and this is because of my ignorance of ICANN politics and so on. And that is, are we expecting people to actually come to us basically on a voluntary basis and say, here's a security issue I've seen in my network, and here's can you help me categorize it and help solve it? Or do we need to go out and actually actively beat the bush for things like that?
This is Mikey again. I was thinking that what we would do in, where's my mouse? Let me get to that page. I was thinking that this part of the work plan was where we would go off and develop a list of threats. And we would go everywhere to find those. Inside the work group, outside the work group, search high and low. and develop a list, and then, you know, just quickly scan them for scope. But, you know, those first four tasks in that part of the work plan was really where I was thinking that we would go hunt for threats, and that in terms of the funnel at the front end, that the funnel could be very wide, and then it would be sort of us, the working group, up to us to sort of narrow that list down to the big ones, the hard ones, the important ones, and to the, you know, to York's point, the highest priority ones. But at least in my mind, the initial round of describing threats could be quite broad, and then we could thin it out. And Patrick is mentioning in the chat that there are some folks who've expressed an interest in being included in this, and at least in my mind, the more the better. Does anybody have a concern with that? This would be a good time to talk that through.
Well, I guess the groups I'm associated with, that there's kind of like this, there's this non-disclosure that goes on. In terms of, hey, I'm under attack, and if this was exposed to the general public at large, this makes my company look bad, that sort of thing. And so you really don't get the whole sort of wide array of potential sort of threats that have been made available,
Mark,
or have been experienced.
Mark, this is Bart again. It's stated that, may I add 2 points to what Mikey just said? Say, the first, again, going back to the charter, there is the explicit wording there is used is solicit expert input and advice. So it's more an active role of the working group to seek input as well.
Okay. I guess if it...
The second point is to address your concern. This is, if you look at the charter again, and say when the charter was created, it was very clear that some people will not share their experience unless there is something like a non-disclosure agreement. Now, in the charter, there is the possibility to create subgroups, sub-working groups, and the members of those sub-working groups would sign a NDA to get to that information and maybe share it at a very general level with the working group itself, but at least being aware that there is either proprietary information out there, or there is, say, it is so, it could be so damaging, but that this sub-working group could be created, and the people on that sub-working group would sign an NDA in order to get in touch with those people.
Okay.
And what I take out of this is that I should add some acknowledgement of that secure non-disclosed process to the work plan, so that it's clear that we A, have a mechanism to do that, and B, want people to participate that way. Would that address the issue that you're raising, Mark?
Yeah. Well, there's the sort of the meta point is being in the bushes and say, do you have security events that you would like to bring to this particular group to help build this fully fleshed out report? It seems like it would not get you sort of a comprehensive list of what you're really looking for, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. And I think that clearly we have to strive, and I think that's where the solicit word that I got to get that charter better understood in my own mind so that I can quote it the way Bart does. I'm really jealous of Bart. But anyway, I think that clearly it's incumbent on us to do that and to get.
Hey, Mikey, this is Patrick.
Go ahead, Patrick.
You know, Mark, would it help if there's people, experts, or others in trusted security communities that you're familiar with who maybe don't want to share the specifics, there's a way to sort of capture those types of events or types of threats in a non-attributable way so that we still can collect that. Because even just the basic information of an event might be useful for this threat identification stuff.
I think that's a wonderful thing. I worry about two things. One is people looking at this as a comprehensive list and realizing that it's not. And based on a number of different factors, one of which it may be the confidentiality of the attack involved. The other thing is the communities in which ICANN deals with is different than the security communities that are kind of like underlying this, and it's like multiple layers deep. Mm-hmm. And how to tussle that out is, I'm having a hard time myself trying to understand how that would happen. How you would get that information from two levels deep to come up to this group to help sort of categorize these particular incidents and bring them up in a comprehensive fashion. So it's really kind of an implementation thing, but it has a lot to do with the structure of the work plan as well.
Yeah.
Go
ahead, Patrick.
Well, in my mind, for the working group to be successful and to get at as wide a range of threats as possible, that the group should come up with at least some way to address this concern so that coming up with a report without some of that information really makes the report as less, it's not as strong as it could be.
Agreed.
Yeah. And so let me listen to the MP3 of this part of the call and come up with a few ideas in the work plan that I'll circulate to the list that we can maybe edit a bit. Because I think you're right. This is crucial. If we don't get that comprehensive list, then we've really missed an opportunity. So let me cogitate about that. I'll take that action item. Other points so far, they've been really good ones.
Mikey, if this is Bart again, if you have a look at section 3.2 of the charter.
You're thinking that I have the charter open, but I've run out of...
That's why I referenced the number, section 3.2.
Yeah. Thanks, Bart. Oh, I get it. You're doing that to help me.
Yeah.
you're not doing that to make me feel bad for not having read that carefully. Cool. All right. I'll go dig into that and see if I can't refine the work plan a bit on that point. Other stuff? We're getting pretty close to the end of the hour, so let's move on to our plans for the first call, which I think is the most urgent thing that we need to get through. I didn't realize that we had multiple. I thought that the dates and times that Christina sent were the times. Are we saying that that's a choice that we get to make?
Christina
yes. May be multiple. Oh, go ahead. When you sent those, I think you sent two times, and I just presumed that both of those times were scheduled calls for the whole group.
The times I sent, I had two times, two dates in the same email for the DSSA working group.
Right.
And that was 24th May and I believe 9th of June.
Yeah, and so my presumption was that we were going to meet on both of those days so that we would
yes.
at least get a couple of meetings in before Singapore. Is that everybody else's understanding as well?
This is Mark. It's definitely mine.
Yeah, okay. So unless somebody throws their body on the tracks at this point, I'm going to unplug this headset. Does that make the sound any better for you guys?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, it's my headset that's screwed up. Sorry about that. I think that those are our two dates. So what I'm thinking is that on the first call, frankly, if we got through this whole work plan on the first call, that would be pretty astounding, but maybe we will. But I'm curious, what other topics we ought to cover. It seems like a couple of the things that we've raised on this call are going to be on other people's minds as well, especially the way the decision-making is going to work, how we can get really, you know, Mark's recent point about how we can get good information from people, and York's point about the scope or the mission statement. Is that a sufficient description of the call to go ahead and start building an agenda? Or are there other things that people think we should also cover? Patrick, is that an old hand or a new one?
Oh, sorry, old hand. I'll take it down.
No worry. Okay, well, I don't want to belabor this, and so maybe what I'll do is I'll start building an agenda for that first call and circulate it to the list.
Mikey?
Go ahead, Bart.
I think you've got, just to be on the safe side, I think because the people who are on this working group are different than on the DS, say, on the charter drafting, is it might be useful to spend some time going through the highlights of the charter before moving forward. So that would include, say, the stuff about decision-making, scope of the working group according to the charter, and the NDA, the sub-working groups, etc.
Yeah.
From there, and what is clearly stated in the charter as well, that the first real job of this working group is come up with a working plan, so you have a natural flow into the work plan.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that approach a lot.
Don't spend too much time on the charter because it's say the work plan, and if people have questions about the charter, they can always refer back to the list.
Yeah, although, you know, I think it's useful to actually put the words in front of people, sort of like what we're doing today with the work plan, because I think it does help them focus. I know that we're all super busy and don't have time to spend on this stuff in advance a lot, and so I think it's a really good idea to for all of us to sort of step through the charter a bit, and so let me fold that into my thinking about the structure of that meeting. Good idea. Other ideas? Okay, well, I'll take an action out of this to get started on that. Then the last thing that I wanted to talk about was the Singapore meeting. And I had an idea that I wanted to float because I noticed that no matter where we schedule the meeting, we're going to wind up with conflicts because it's so close to the meeting now. And some of us have already made it, well, probably most of us have already made our travel plans. So why don't we stick with the Thursday day meeting, but also try and schedule an informal gathering after the meeting over a beer somewhere. And I know for a lot of folks, part of their job is to meet people over beer, and so it may not work. But I think that the the main objective of the face-to-face stuff, or at least a main objective, is for people to meet each other and get to know each other and start to build those personal relationships that are going to be so important somewhere down the line. And I was just curious if that would sort of mitigate the difficulties that the Thursday scheduled meeting. I mean, it would be really hard to do remote participation, but it would at least take some of the pressure off the schedule difficulties that people might have with Thursday. What do folks think about that?
So this is Mark. I guess I'm the one that actually, I guess you could say, called fault for bringing it up in the first place. My son is graduating from high school that Tuesday, and it's a 2-day ride to get out there to Singapore from the East Coast. So that's why I asked about the variants. But I'll just join in on the phone call in the evening hours here on whatever time that is. When you have your meeting on Thursday.
Okay. Congratulations on the son graduating from high school. That's cool.
Thank you.
And that's certainly the right priority.
Maybe in addition, Mikey, it might be useful, let's say, because you're all from different constituencies, and I think you hardly know each other, that at least whoever of the co-chairs is present in Singapore, that they meet and say with the support staff, meet early in the week, so we have faces.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's easier to organize than the full group.
Yeah, way easier. Well, I'm going to get there on Friday. Dark 30 Friday morning, so... I'll be there the whole weekend, and maybe what we can do is just fire off some email and try and find each other. Maybe what I'll do is I'll start a little conversation on the list, and we can start homing in on a time when we can get together fairly early. Like you say, Bart, early in the week. I think that's a great idea. All right, that's all I've got on this agenda. I've taken lots of action items. Oh, I've got hands up. Jorg, is that
That was
old?
Just, I definitely do agree to what you just suggested.
Cool. All right. Olivier, is that an old hand or a new one?
It's a new one, Mike. Thank you,
okay.
Olivier, for the record. I was just going to ask, are we looking at having any kind of milestone that we wish to have reached by the time we are in Singapore?
In my mind, the milestones that I've been trying to get us to, let me see if I can get it to that, is this page. And my goal is to pretty much have all of this done so that Singapore is sort of the wrapping up of the launch phase and moving on into the, you know, into the real work, which is really this page, the identify threats page. And I think we're going to do that. By the way, I think that by the time we get to Singapore, we will have got complete by all of those items.
Okay, because I was just wondering whether there was any opportunity for networking with any of the expert parties or RIRs or others that are not necessarily in the working group that will be useful for providing input.
Ooh.
The RERs are participating through the NRO.
I just took them as an example, but you know, any other experts that might be there that might not be in the working group that might be useful in the future.
What if we broadened our after-hours informal over-a-beer gathering to include folks like that. Because I think the huge thing in Singapore is meeting people face-to-face, putting faces to names, exchanging contact information, getting to know people. And at least from my perspective, the more we get to know of each other and others who are interested in what we're doing, the better. So maybe we publicize our informal gathering within the group, but also encourage members of the group to invite others who aren't in the working group but want to participate to that gathering. Patrick chimed in on the chat, suggesting that. Yor, go ahead.
Nothing to mention.
Oh, okay. All right, well, then let me take that as part of the action for the informal gathering, and the way I'll frame it is encouraging not only members of the working group to join us, but also anybody who they think might also be interested. It could become a pretty big group, but, that might call for a second beer to cover that whole group. Good idea. Okay. Anything else about Singapore planning at this point? And then anything else in general, sort of the any other business category. Okay, well, it's 2 minutes before the top of the hour, by my clock anyway.
Maybe just one question. This is more for, this is Bart. Say we have the first call on the 24th of May. Do you want to have a preparation call before that or not? But you can do answer that question online.
Oh, that's a good idea. I would love to have a preparation call before then. So let's try and schedule one if we can. That was a habit that I've gotten into with other co-chairs on other working groups. And it's really helpful. So
we'll send out Christine and I will send out a doodle for that.
Yeah. That would be fantastic. And I'm quite flexible in when I meet on those, so that would be fantastic. Anything else? All right, then. We have had our first call, and I thank everybody. See you on the list. That's it for me. And my thunderstorm didn't knock me off the air. It's great.
Thanks, Mikey.
Okay, thanks, Mikey. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, gang.
Thanks, Mikey.
Bye.